Our gospel reading is from chapter 6, the Gospel of John. I will begin reading at verse 47, continuing to 58. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life, for I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, but they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A frugal Scotsman saved up his pennies and bought a ticket for a ship bound for the United States. Now, knowing that he would need money once he got there, he decided to save by taking his own food aboard, crackers, cheese, and fruit. The ship set out and he began to eat his Spartan meals. Went fairly well for the first 4 or 5 days. But as the ship drew closer to New York City, the crackers became stale, and the cheese got moldy, and the fruit began to spoil. Finally, there was nothing left fit to eat. He reluctantly faced his circumstances and yielded to the pangs of hunger. He would go to the dining room for one grand meal before the ship docked in Manhattan. He made himself comfortable at the table and ordered his meal. Because he was so hungry, he ordered a lot. His table mates couldn't help but notice. He got into discussion and finally confessed that he'd been eating stale crackers and moldy cheese and spoiled fruit. Why are you doing that? Well, I don't have a lot of money. I know that I'll need money when we finally land, and I just couldn't afford the meals. His table mates looked at him, faces filled with surprise and confusion. You don't know, do you? Know what? When you bought your ticket, your meals were included. This is the way it is for millions of people. For this is how so many act toward Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus is there for all. But the sad fact is that many feed on the stale crackers of human wisdom and the spoiled fruit of human achievement. Now, more books have been written about Jesus than any other human being. But what did Jesus say about himself? Well, the first thing Jesus said was what we read. I am the bread of life. There are 8 I ams throughout the Gospel of John. The first one is, I am the bread of life. He says it four times in this sixth chapter, verse 35, 41, 48, and 51. Now, Jesus made a claim, an amazing, some could say preposterous claim. He tells us that he is all men and women need in this life. He claimed that he is able to satisfy the deepest needs and longings of the human soul. Jesus used this metaphor, I am the bread of life, four times in the chapter. Consequently, many complained in verse 60, this is a very hard saying. Who can accept it? Later in the chapter, Jesus uttered what must have been some of the saddest words that he ever said to his disciples. Verse 36, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Verse 67, you do not want to leave too, do you? Fortunately, Peter spoke up, Lord, to whom should we go? We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Well, the disciples remained faithful, 11 of them anyway. But the crowd had a lot of trouble with this bread talk. Now, I said Jesus used this word picture four times. In verses 30 through 34, now we didn't read that part, Jesus speaks of this bread from heaven. And the people ask for a sign that'll help them believe. They cited manna, which Max read about from Exodus 16. This is our sign, they boasted. What's your sign? And Jesus replied, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. Manna eaters died. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Further in verse 51, the bread of heaven is my flesh, which will give life to the world. And continuing in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Now, have you ever noticed that John's gospel does not include the Last Supper like the others? No foot washing, no betrayal, you know. His communion, his Last Supper, is right here. And we will soon gather to have another opportunity to commit our lives and proclaim our thanksgiving for Jesus' sacrifice symbolized by bread and wine. Now, of course, everyone has physical life, but God offers and promises so much more. I trust that you have discovered the difference between physical life and spiritual life. Both are important. Without this real life that Jesus gives, we will always feel empty and unfinished and wondering about life's purpose and trying to live on crackers, cheese, and fruit. To be truly fulfilled, we must hunger for the right things. Jesus claims to be that right thing, the bread of life. The bread we must yearn for, the bread we must eat. As Isaiah said back in chapter 55, why spend money for what is not bread? Or labor for what does not satisfy? To feed on Jesus, who is the bread of life, means to believe in him, to commit to him, to take him into yourself so that he becomes a part of you. Now, how do you do that? Now, I don't mean, do you know about Jesus? I mean, have you given yourself to Jesus? If not, you need to say something like this in personal conversation with God. Dear God, you sent your son, Jesus, at Christmas time so that you can get personal with me. Your son Jesus said that I need him in life as much as I need daily food. As I need to take food into my body to live physically, I need to take Jesus into my life to live spiritually. I confess that until I do, I'll never be satisfied. Come into me, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sin and be my Savior and Lord. Now, for thousands of years, millions of boys and girls and men and women have said their own prayer sounding something like that prayer. There's no substitute for that prayer. If you have never said that to God in prayer, you're not a Christian. If you have, one way or the other, you are. God has placed the Holy Spirit within you and has promised eternal life. So it's now up to you to feed on this new life through worship and prayer and fellowship and service and generosity. Now I say this because I believe this is exactly what Jesus meant by his claim. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Now bread is for eating. Think of what eating means. Number one, eating is necessary. Other things are necessary, exercise, work, thinking, but none of these is as basic as eating. And if we don't eat, we're not going to be able to do anything else. It's basic. And if we don't partake of Jesus Christ, we will die. So, eating is necessary. Number two, eating is a response to a felt need. We eat because we're hungry. We don't eat when we're full. Coming to Jesus is a result of a felt need, an inner desire, hunger, a dissatisfaction with stale crackers and spoiled fruit. I'm sure you remember the gospel story of Luke chapter 15 of the young man who was on a search looking for life. He took his inheritance and squandered it. Did he find life? No, he didn't. When did living begin for him? Only when he came to his senses, the text says, acknowledged his need, left his willful past, and returned to his loving Father. You see, Jesus offers very little to the self-satisfied. I'm doing fine. Matthew 5:16 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Eugene Peterson put it this way: you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. His food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. So eating is necessary. Eating is a response to a felt need. And third, eating is a decision that we take action. In other words, knowledge of food is not enough, right? We can sit at a table and recognize every appetizer, platter, casserole, and dessert. But if we don't eat of the food, we'll still be hungry. We will starve. It is possible to know about Jesus, to understand doctrine, to even be a church member, still be hunger for food, physical and spiritual, must be eaten. Eating is an act. It's a decision. Fourth, eating is personal. You must eat. No one else can do it for you. As I was writing this, I pictured my brother and string beans. Yeah. No one can force you. And so spiritually, you must choose Jesus. Your wife or husband, parent, child, friend can help you, but you must choose personally to eat. Come to Jesus. It'll cost, but the price of the ticket includes the meal. And you will be satisfied as never before. Oh, and one more thing. Eating is enjoyable, isn't it? Partaking of Jesus, the bread of life, is the source of joy unspeakable. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you told us about real life. Our world's substitutes can never satisfy. We believe your claim to be the bread of life, so help us to act on our belief, to come to you, to trust you, to obey you and serve you, and to feed upon you. Hear us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, in preparation for communion, let me review. Eating is necessary. It's a response to a need. It's a decision to act, and it's always personal. So, eating Jesus, the bread of life, is necessary. Eating Jesus, the bread of life, is our response to our need. Eating Jesus, the bread of life, requires a decision, and it must be a personal one. May eating Jesus, the bread of life, be your spiritual decision this morning.